having lunch with him yesterday, but at breakfast time, I went down to the Tower Embankment by Tower Bridge and got in a little chug-chug boat, and thanks to the captain and the crew, and we got out to the middle of the Thames, and there was David Captain, so we sat down, you see, and I started to work the tape recorder, something like this.
Well, whilst the great British public are eating their breakfast on a Sunday morning, I feel very fortunate to be having my Saturday morning breakfast at David Cassidy.
Morning, David.
Morning.
Always like the morning.
Morning.
How are you doing? So, look, I've just actually had some toast and marmalade. And a bit of orange juice and coffee. What do you usually have for breakfast?
Actually, what I usually have is a little tea or a little toast and a marked in the steak behind it. That's how to breakfast.
Well,
I eat
what happens.
You
what?
I eat the phone.
Always good in the middle of an interview, always seems to ring then. Anyway, after we'd finished that, we'd answered the phone, we decided we'd go out on deck and wave to everybody on the shore. So, on the hats and coats, I think that's what happened here.
Yes, jacket on for David and hat. We're just about to guard the door, and here comes the reaction. And David Cassidy makes his first appearance of the morning. see Dan in that park and I'd be sure. And later on in the program, at around 10:15, I hope, before he has to leave for the airport, then I hope we'll be able to get him on the phone just before he gets from the launch and leaves. And by the way, you can go and see him leave on terminal number 2 today, but the police have said it'll be all right. So when you go out there, and, but don't cause too much havoc. Try not to. Just have a good scream, all right? Get out of your system. David Caster, then, how can I be sure?
How are you this morning, all right?
Just fantastic.
Yeah?
Just terrific.
Good. And what sort of day did you have yesterday? Because when I left you, you were going to go shopping, weren't you?
I did, yeah. I went shopping. I went down, I think, to King's Road with it.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah, I was walking around a bit. And it was nice. It was really nice. I got some suits, and I got some shirts, and I got some shoes. And
did you get that jacket I was wearing yesterday? Because you like that one?
No. I got some things that are kind of similar. You know, I haven't been shopping in I don't know how long, you know. And because most of the stuff I get is bought for me by the studio.
Yeah.
You know, so I just, you know, end up taking it home.
Well, there are lots of thousands of girls and fans waiting for you on the embankment yesterday, but did they find you down the King's Road?
Some of them, a few of them. I was really kind of shy, you know. Only because, you know, I think that they were really nuts. I mean, they didn't get out of control, and they just came in. I was in a little store, they came in, and there were a bunch of them standing outside, and they came in, and they were very nice, and they said, we have your autograph, and I said, sure. And they said, you know, we wait for you at the airport, and I said, well, okay, thanks, and maybe I'll see you there tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, yeah. And I signed their autograph, and
thank you.
the end of Partridge Family. And there we have to say goodbye. Safe journey, bon voyage. We'll be back in February, I hope.
It was a day for me. Well, I start about 6 o'clock. I wake up and I have to be at the studio around 7:30. And I shoot usually until about 6:30 at night. We have an hour at lunch. And sometimes I do interviews and things in my lunch hour. And we shoot usually until about 6:30 or so. And from there, most of the time I go and I record either for the Partridge Family, for the television show, and records, and or myself on records. And I usually get back around 12:30, and off again, which is why you see the bags under my eyes.
I know the feeling. What sort of songs do you like singing best?
What sort of songs? Good ones.
Well, which is your favorite of the ones you've recorded?
My favorite. I just finished an album in the States. Of all the songs that you have heard, I would say How Can I Be Sure is my favorite. But I finished an album in the States just about 2 weeks ago that I cut down a lot of really good songs that I really like. But it won't be out here for about another 5 months, I think.
How has it influenced your music mostly?
Hard to say. I think everybody kind of influences everybody else. But I must admit, when I think I started singing for fun and just kidding around and playing guitar, was the Beatles probably more than anyone. I think they had tremendous influence on music in general, you know.
Can you tell us about the house you've got in Los Angeles? What sort of house is it?
It's pretty warm, and I'm fixing it up. And it's kind of a Spanish ranch kind of place. It's got about 3 acres, and it's nice for living in L.A. If you have to live in L.A., it's okay.
That's all, I'm afraid. Of course, you're right back.
I've little producers inside our heads, you know. Something went the wrong way, it closed up the head. I'm going to watch myself for that person, you know. I'm very aware of people who kind of try to woo me because of who I am and like me because of who I am, rather than, you know, who I am.
Yes, it must be very difficult at times trying to put them into the right perspectives, the right bags.
It's not difficult doing that because, I mean, I can really tell. It's just kind of really disturbing and discouraging, and it comes and makes you, lose faith in people, you know, a little bit. You know, I mean, there are a lot of good folks out there, but, you know, sometimes running into someone who is deceiving, you know, it becomes really interesting.
Okay, but I think it might be nice idea if we play another one of your... What are we going to have as the backstory on the
show? Okay, let me just say this. This is a song that we released last week in the States. And this is my new single in the States. It will not be out here, and no other radio station, I'm sure, has gotten the record. Won't have it, and it's really kind of just like a preview of what my new album, which I just cut, will be released in about a week in the States. It's going to be like... The title of the song is called Rock Me Baby. The title of the album is called Rock Me Baby. I think that was a song that I wrote, and it's also on the album called Two Time Loser. But it's a new direction for me. It's a good one. I mean, I really like it. It's good rock and roll, and it's
Switzerland at the moment.
It's really terrific. I'm looking forward to doing my first show in England. So I'm really looking forward to it. You know, it's in Manchester on Tuesday evening, and I just know we're going to have really, really a great time. Yeah. And, well, I'm looking forward to seeing everybody there. And when I get to England, I'll give you a buzz, maybe, yeah?
All right.
Okay?
Yeah. How many shows have you got today?
I've got three today and two tomorrow.
And what times are they?
Today they are 12, 4, and 8. And yeah. Tomorrow they are at 4 and 8.
So they're all shut out before.
Yeah, right. Well, I mean, not both, but...
it's been fun.
Yeah, apparently
they are. Good. Well, there are a lot of people outside the studio here all gazing inside and hoping you're going to turn around and wave and give them a smile.
Well, I'll do that.
This is making great radio, this song. There we are. Nice big wave back.
Yeah.
All right, well, tea or coffee this morning?
A little tea for me.
A little tea this morning?
Yeah.
Right, okay. Tea pot.
Tea.
Tea coming up. Well, you've got some of your favourite, a favourite record to play later.
I have one of my favourite records, yes.
All right, well, we'll play that after the next record, which is Cliff Richard and Power to All Our Friends, which is our entry into Eurovision.
Yes, I heard it the other night.
Yes. Okay. Kathy Wick. No, I know. Kathy, you're going to read her card out in a second.
Okay.
I've got two cards you wouldn't mind reading them out.
All right.
And what number? Ah, here we go. This one is for Angela Pittman of 53 Lowerway Lane, Thatcham in Berkshire, who is 7 years old on the 15th of March, but she's having her party today after her riding lesson, and she'd like to hear Cliff Richard. So I hope she's back from the riding lesson. Are you, Angela? And Mummy, Daddy, and your little sister Joanne want to say many happy returns to you. Power to all our friends, please, for our little granddaughter Amanda Smith of Bloomfield Close in Taunton, who is 7 years old on the 15th of March. So that's from Nana and Papa in Exmouth. One more card now for Cliff Richard. Mrs. Lewis of 3 Anfield Road, London, N15. And, what's that? Oh, you're taking sugar.
A little sugar, yeah.
Okay, sugar.
Didn't want to stress you.
No, well, you didn't. Michelle Lewis, who's 5 years old on the 19th of March. And this is to wish her and her daddy, who will be XXX. Oh, that means 30, does it? On the 20th of March, a very happy birthday from Michael, David, and Mummy. Okay, Cliff Richard coming up. Power to all our friends. Right, David, now, your favourite record, one of them, we're going to play now.
Yes, we certainly are.
And tell us what it is.
Well, I'd rather not. I mean, we could be really dramatic and we could put it on. Which one are we going to put on?
Well, the one you are.
Oh, yeah. When I was just a lad and going off to school every day in my knickers, I
short trousers, that means. Well, that means something different over here.
Oh, I see. Yes. Back in the States, we...
You call them...
Yeah.
Well, we call them right. Short trousers.
Well, at any rate, I used to hum this on the way to school. It's one of my favorite records. First one I remember by this group who never really made it, but it's been a good stab at success.
Well, what we'll do then, I've got a card here. This is very simple to read.
Okay. I need a drop capital at the tell this morning.
The drop capital, there are no difficult names, there's a picture of you on the
screen. You're not Ben. Oh, you're Stewpot. Could you please play a record for my daughter Lane's birthday on Saturday, 17th of March? When she'll be 15, she's mad about David Hood, and would be really thrilled if David could read out this request as he's on your show. She will be going to David's concert with her sister, Jeannie, also a fan, on Sunday at 4 o'clock, and we're both very excited. Thank you, Stu Pott. Well, thank you. That's really nice.
Well, a good picture of you in the front.
Well.
I don't think.
Yeah.
Cool.
I think that was old days.
Well, there's another one, actually, I'm going to ask you to read
that's
out.
That's really nice. Okay.
All right, well, that one over there. I'm going to get you working now.
Oh, dumb boy. I thought that. Yes, DuPont. Please play me a record on Saturday the 17th of March. And David Cassidy's on the show. Also, my mom's birthday on March the 24th. Tell David I'll be seeing him at 4:30 this afternoon. Could you get him to say hi? Hi to me and my two friends, Jackie and Melanie. Hi, Jackie. Hi, Melanie. We're going to the concert with me. Watch out for our banner, David, if he says that. It says, we love you, David, and we'll be on the second row of the South Arena to Ed. And please read this, because I've tried several times before and I've never had a request to vet out. Well, here it is. Bye.
And here love comes that. Your favorite records from that group that never made it.
Yeah.
Ready?
Ready. Go.
His favorite track from his favorite group, the Beatles, and Please Please Me. You enjoyed that, didn't you?
Please, yeah. Oh, I love it. Get the chills, you know, when I hear the record.
Yeah.
The old one, the real old one.
Right.
Yeah. Music does that, you know, when it can take you someplace. It's so hard to find for me now, you know, songs that, you know, give me any kind of feeling and give me the chills like I used to get. I mean, the music that takes you back to a certain time or a certain moment that you can really remember, and suddenly you hear it and you hear it, I mean, it takes you right back then, you know? Beautiful.
Well, I'm glad we were able to play one of your favorite tracks.
Well,
that will please a lot of other people.
That's why I came.
Well,
I don't have a copy of the album at home.
So how about Manchester? I mean, that's...
How about Manchester?
Yeah.
It's great. We tore it up a little bit, you know? It was fantastic. The folks were really great, you know? The last show we did in there... Perhaps will be the last show they ever do in that building. The ceiling began to collapse. We were jumping and stomping to such a degree that it began to cave in. I had to stop. We had a breakdown in the middle of real cooking tune, you know. And I had to stop, completely break down. Had to turn around, had to like evacuate a single portion of one of the tiers like that was caving in, and underneath a single body. Stood with a pole, like a broom, that was holding the entire room. It was a classic. I ran off the stage. It was great, though. I mean, you know, I really am glad I got to come over and
good. Well, everybody's saying you've come over, so lovely. Now, we got a card. Let's give you another card.
Yeah.
So you can read one of them. You read the first one.
Okay. Dear Ed, please play any New Seekers record for my nanny and granddad. On Saturday, the 7th, right, for their wedding anniversary. They live 7 Coleridge Road, Stoke Coventry, I think that is.
Between 9 and 10, please. Between 9 and 10, please. Right. Thank you. Dana Bennett.
Donna Bennett. Was it D-A-N-A?
Yeah, we pronounce it Dana. Is it Donna?
Well, over here is Donna.
Well, you say potato and I say potato.
Right, now, Susan Stokes, who will be 14 on that date, and include her brother David Stokes, who is 11. They're both fans of the New Seekers, especially Susan, whose bedroom walls are full of their pictures. And says Mum and Dad, it saves decorating. Hoping for some luck this time, all from Greenfield, St. Martin's. Hey, David, tell me, what is your reaction to all the adulation that you started with?
My reaction.
He just turned around and started through the window. There were millions of fans outside the room. Anyway.
That's stupid. They're really angry.
But what is your own reaction? I mean, how do you feel about it?
Well, personally, Ed, let me say this about that. I actually think it's, I mean, it's really a nice thing. I mean, there are certain complications, but I mean, it's really a small price to pay, you know? I mean, they're really fantastic. It's nice to know that a lot of people out there care about you, you know, and care about how you are and care about what you're doing. And,
so it doesn't seem unreal to you?
No, it's not unreal. I mean, here we are, and here I am. Here we all are.
Okay. Together. Well, one of the records of the moment, which I believe the fans sing back to you, Nice One, David.
Nice One, David. It was
right.
Great.
I mean, well, we'll get you to sing something back to them in a second, but I'll just get the two cards up for this one. You won't mind singing this early, do you?
I can't. No, I can't. I mean, there's nothing to come out at this point.
No?
No.
Well, we'll get somebody else to sing it for you. Right. Mrs. Bryant of 29 Farmers Way, Cheffington, Hertfordshire, says, Nice one, Cyril, please. My son's birthday, March the 16th.
Cyril,
yes. We're first to one of the footballers, you see.
I have a T-shirt that was given to me by this illustrious record fellow over here. It says, Nice one, Cyril, on it.
That's it.
I think I'll wear it on stage one of these times.
Oh, you should, because they're all British on that. Stage Nice one, Davey.
Oh, it's great. We did it in Manchester. We had a little big chorus going. You know?
Good. That's great. Now, there's Gary Bryant, then, and the older one is Keith Bryant. They're the Bryants. Many happy turns to you both. It was Nice One, Cyril, with their stone supporter. And Mrs. Butler of 20 Wood Lane, Lane's End, the Darents near Dartford in Kent, on the 17th, please, as the first Darents Cub football team are playing in the final of the Dartford Cup. And I'd like to wish them good luck. And the record I'd like for them is Nice One, Cyril. Thank you, says Mum supporter, Mrs. Butler. And they'll all be singing to you tonight. Nice One, Wembley.
No.
The voice going all right.
The what?
The voice of those
things. The voice. It's a bit shabby, I must admit.
Yeah. So, what, I mean, when you've got three shows a day or five a weekend like this, do you have to take any precautions or do you have to use anything for the voice?
Not really, no. I mean, I drink a little tea in the morning, you know.
You don't use honey and...
Not to vocalize, actually. I mean, according to how my sound, you know. Because if you have to sing that hard and that long, you know, on stage and things, it's very difficult to hold back. You know, especially when there's a lot of people and a lot of noise and the monitors and stuff, you know.
Mm.
It's difficult to hold back, so I'm going to lose my voice, I'm sure, by tonight. Tomorrow I'll be mouthing the words and I'll be playing my records and I'll be listening.
Don't say that.
Well, I'll get by, you know.
Yeah.
Well, they'll be dropping the keys on things by tomorrow.
when you finish this tour, how much of a rest will you have?
A few days, you know. I don't know exactly. I may go skiing somewhere, take off for a while. But I'll be in London for another probably week.
And they'll still be trying to find you.
Well, I don't know if they'll be trying to find me. I mean, you know the way this business is. You're up one day, you're down the next.
Oh, I should think you'll still be up by the end of this. Okay, you got a card.
I have a card. Yes.
Yeah. Right.
Top priority. David, please read this out and mention the names which are on here. Jill, Helen, Sand, and Beverly. I hope I pronounced Jill, something.
Jill.
Jill, yeah. Jill. We all live in Aylesbury, and we'll be going on to the 8 p.m. concert Saturday the 17th of March. We know we'll all have a great time, and we hope you do, too. Love you, Jill, Helen, Sand, and Beverly. Thank you.
That's the one I'm going to do, so I hope your voice is held up for then.
On Sunday?
No, today.
Tonight.
Tonight.
I'll do what I can, Ed. Knowing what you have. If you don't say hi to her... When you're on Junior Choice, you'll think I got lost in the post. Oh, I think I got lost in the post and get worried. Love from the Nameless Pink and White Bunny.
The Nameless Pink and White
Bunny.
Oh, that's
Pink
a little person.
White Bunny. Oh, that's the Pink and White Bunny.
that's very nice.
Oh, that's very nice. Thank you.
Okay, from 16 Lady Jane Grey Road, King's Lynn in Norfolk, dear Stewpot. Susan is 13 years old on Saturday the 17th, and she listens to the program each weekend. And please play one of the recordings made by the Little Angels of Korea. From Mummy, Daddy, and sisters Ruth and Jacqueline. Married sister Linda, who lives with her husband Robert, and baby Hannah Jane in Germany as well, and I hope they're listening on a long ways at the moment. And then there's Glenda from Glenda Sothcott of 46 Foreland Road, Bembridge in the Isle of Wight. Dear Ed, I'm getting married in the morning. I thought you said I'm getting married in the morning for a moment. I'm not. You're not getting married in the morning, are you?
No,
Glenda isn't, I hope. And her cousin Mandy Arnold, who is getting married on March the 7th. So Mandy Arnold is getting married in the morning today. Perhaps it's the afternoon, but here's the right one for you. Little Angels of Korea.
This is I'm a Clown. And the other two, one of which I wrote with Kim Collins, who also sings with me, and the other one, which we're going to play now, I think is my favorite of the new album, which is called Some Kind of a Summer.
Well, we've been playing that for a couple of weeks.
Oh, it's a pretty song. I really like it. And I don't know. I mean, hard to say which one you like better, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, personally, myself, I think I'm a Clown is a good... Lovely track. I mean, Some Kind of Summer's good, but it's a good break for it, a good change to
it. Yeah, it's like different, you know, I mean, it's a maxi, so for all the folks, I guess, who don't have the coin to buy the album,
it's a good value for money, but they must also remember that it's also plays at 33 and a third, i.e. the long playing speed.
We already went through that, I think, on another.
Well, I just hope I don't play at the wrong speed, because I'm prone to do it.
Okay, I have one. Do you want to read it?
Yep.
Just you, but please, could you read this on Saturday? David Cassidy is with you. Could you play I'm a Clown, which is on David's Cherish album? This is for Claire, Dawn, Terry, I think it is, Anna, Karen, and all my friends from the North Vaughan. I don't know the places around here. Something. Oh. Shenfield School.
Yeah.
Love David. Oh, that's very nice.
Okay.
I hope he enjoys his visit to England. I hope that we see a lot of him. And all our love and kisses, all that, from Jill Baxter. Thank you, Jill.
Okay, well, two young ladies will be seeing you this evening at 8 o'clock are Maureen M. and Marie D. It was Maureen's birthday on March the 6th. Marie's was on November the 8th, and mine, as Mary, will be on March 27th. And we'd love to hear David sing a song for us, that we'll then go and see him. And Richard and Lucy from 89 Theobald Street, Boreham Wood in Hertfordshire. David Cassidy, please, for Sally Jones, who was 14 yesterday, the 16th of March. Please play it today. I should be eagerly awaiting to hear the record. Although everybody seems to be asking for I'm a Clown, should we switch and play your favorite track?
Yeah, I think
should we do that?
Somebody's been sorting the mail out here. Yeah, I think we should play this one.
All right, will you introduce it?
Okay, this is Herb Knipknop singing Some Kind of a Summer.
David Cassidy, part of the staple diet of teen dreams, slipped into London this week. He's here, like the good superstar he is, to promote his latest album, Home Is Where the Heart Is. But Mr. Cassidy will be giving no live concerts this time round, because Mr. Cassidy is a changed man. Today he's striving hard to be a real person. So before we talk to the real David Cassidy, let's see him in action.
your 4 years or 5 years, was it, as a teeny bopper idol? 4 years of hell. Now, is that true?
Well, I don't know if I called it that, but perhaps the media quoted or misquoted me as saying that.
Well,
I think there were moments of that, yeah, but there were moments of just really incredible highs, you know? And it was wonderful. A lot of it was really good. A lot of it was very frustrating. Creatively, artistically, it was very frustrating. But I grew from it, you know, a lot.
But were you actually being creative, or were you being marketed in a sense?
I would say basically that I was being manipulated by the machine, so to speak. You know, I think that they decided who I should be. And in terms of the television show and the records and, you know, the lunch boxes and the magazines and the comic books and the bubblegum and all of that, you know, you tend to, you lose your identity in that.
That was presumably because they saw there was a gap in the market, in the teeny bopper market.
Well,
the Monkees had filled it, really, hadn't they, for a while?
Oh, yes, yeah, a few years before them.
Yes.
You know?
And then there was a gap, so they filled it with you. Did you resent that?
No, I didn't resent that. What I resented was the fact that it didn't matter whether it was me or anybody else. I was a dollar or a pound, which is basically the same thing today, isn't it?
Almost, not quite.
Almost, yeah. So I hear, at least. I think that I resented being manipulated, and I resented the fact that they didn't really care about me. Was just how many dollars they could make out of me, and no matter what it was, you know, they would use me as that. And
but you made enough money along the way as well.
Well, I made a lot of money because I happened contractually to get them somewhere, and they made a big mistake. Unlike with the Monkees, they really robbed them, you know. I was able to capitalize on it, and also I was able to do concerts, etc., and I made a lot of money doing that, but I got to a point where I just had to stop and say, this is enough is enough, and I have to stop doing this.
And that was when you went through what was called at the time your identity crisis.
Well, I called it that. I suppose that, for lack of better words, you know, I think that I just was, you know, each time, you know, that a flame would pass, I think that it would rob me a little more of my own identity. It would misrepresent me as something else.
And then you came back, and the publicity blurb said things like, I've got some here from June 1975, last year. David Cassidy left his teen idol image behind in February, and he did so and so and so. I mean, how can you leave behind an image? Right? I mean, that is you, isn't
exactly,
it?
Exactly. I mean, that was their interpretation, the media's interpretation of it. I think that for me, I didn't want to do was say, you know, I don't want that, I don't want any of those people that were involved. I mean, all those people that, it's a media experience. What you and I are doing right now, making records and television and all that, radio, and I was really fortunate, and somehow or another blessed with the fact that a lot of people really cared about me, you know, and I moved a lot of people, and I reached a lot of people.
You talk in the past sense, you still do. I mean, the girls are still screaming outside.
Yeah, right. What I'm talking about, we were talking about the entourage of people.
Have you changed at all? That's really what I'm asking.
Well, only in as much as I'm doing now what I want to do.
Which is?
Artistically. Well, I'm making the kind of records, I'm writing the kind of songs. See, I was never able to do that. I was never able to reveal David Cassidy. I was never able to sit down and tell you exactly who and what I feel about something. That was never, ever done or ever accomplished. They kept me from doing that. I was never able to write and record the kind of songs I wanted to do. And as an artist, I just felt very, 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 very sort of confined.
So what you're saying is you weren't the superficial being they made you out to be. I mean, you're jolly lucky that there was a basic talent there all the time anyway.
Well, I'd like to think so, yeah. I mean, certainly time will tell, you know. I feel like at this point, I've reached a point in my career, in my life, where I have that freedom, and I work when I want to work, and I work at what I want to work, and that's a luxury to say that I'm not working for money anymore. I stopped touring and doing that. I would like to go out and tour again, because I love turning people on, and that's real exciting to me.
You certainly do that, I mean, to the teeny bop.
Yeah, well, they do that to me too, you know. to anybody. I mean, that's what entertaining is all about. That's what, you know, media is all about, is reaching people and moving them, having them hate you and like you.
But can we go back to the point where you say that you know, you're now doing what you want to do creatively, that you're not frustrated creatively anymore? Mm. I mean, maybe I haven't got an ear for it, but I mean, I've played your latest record, and I don't quite understand how that differs from the sort of stuff you were doing 3 years ago.
Well, did you listen to the stuff I was doing 3 years ago?
Well, yes. I mean, I've heard it.
You did?
Yes, I mean, I'd like you to explain to me what actually is different about it.
Well, do you want it note for note?
No, I want a definition of
okay,
the,
well,
of how
the fact
it's
is, the fact is that...
I mean, the other word was what was called bubblegum music, wasn't it?
Well, they called it that. I didn't call it that.
Well, I mean, that's a sort of identity name for it. I mean, what is the name for this that you're doing now?
Well, I don't know. I think music is much to categorize at this point. And I don't want to put it in a, you know, I think, to say, well, it's R&B, or it's rock and roll, or it's, you know, bum rock, or it's schlock rock, or whatever it is. I think that inhibits art, and I think that inhibits music today. I think that what is on that album is just pieces and parts, experiences that I've had as a writer. I mean, the difference between it then and now is the fact that A, I wrote 7 of the songs of the 10 on the album. I produced it. I played on every one of the tracks. I sang. I arranged most of it. I never had the freedom to do that. I also think that musically it's much better, you know? It's what I wanted to do. In my mind, it's much better. It's, I guess, all how you equate success. A lot of people equate success as going in and recording something and having a number one record. To me, that no longer is where it's at for me. You know, if I listen to something after I finish it, I guess it's like an artist with a painting. You know, he looks at a piece of canvas after he's done and says, yeah, I love it, or I hate it. And essentially what I do is, when I go in and I make an album, I write it and I finish it and I listen to it. And I love it.
David Cassidy, the old and the new.
Hey, how did you like? Can I ask you one thing?
Ask me two things.
What's it like working with Shirley?
With Shirley?
Yes, it really a thrill. Wait a minute. This is going to be one of those interviews, is it?
Yes, it is.
Hang about. David, we've had lots and lots of letters from you, lots and lots of fans, and we're going to ask you their questions. We've got lots of postcards here, and we'd like to read you the first one now.
Okay.
From Debbie Wilkins.
Debbie
from Brooklyn Sale in Cheshire. She's the first lucky fan tonight to get a question over to you. And the question is that the rumors have been coming thick and fast that this year you'll be finishing filming with the Partridge Family. Can you put any truth or false
yes,
it is
can
to
I,
this?
Right. Yes, that is true, as a matter of fact. This is my last year. 26 more, and it's Finney for me. And actually, I'm looking forward to it.
You are?
Yeah, it's good. I mean, I really like to do it, but you know, it's like anything else. I mean, it's like you sitting in this crazy room with all these crazy people every night. You know what I mean? I mean,
enough
jerk after a while.
Enough for no
I'm a bloody lunatic. You know.
Okay, so because you were heading towards lunacy, you decided to pack in the filming with Partridge Family. But what about filming? Will you continue?
Yeah, I will. Well, let's hope. I mean, if everything goes well, I'd like to. You know, and I'd like to do. I'd like to do some films, you know, what are we doing? Oh, you know, something comes my way that's really, really different than what I'm doing on television, I like to, you know.
A lot of the kids want to know which you think is the most important. Which do you like doing best? Do you like acting or do you like singing in concerts? Which is the best for you?
Well, I really like tapping the best. No, actually. No, I like acting a lot, but, you know, it depends upon what you're doing. It depends upon what you're acting in. It depends upon what you're singing. I mean, you know. There's some tunes that you like to sing, some that you really don't, you know. And there's some jobs that I've had to do. I mean, in my illustrious career, that I haven't really cared for. And there's some that I really like to do. So I mean, it really depends on what you're doing. I like to do both. So
it's extremely unlikely. But if there ever a situation arose where you'd have to make a decision, you could be a singer, recorder, concert actor, or you could be an actor. What would you really choose? You have to make a decision.
So difficult because they're two completely different things. I think at this point, right now, I mean, if I had to make the decision, I'd probably be a singer, you know.
You'd probably be a singer?
Yeah.
Over
if I had a dream, I'd be a...
Over the generations and eras of pop music, David, there have been superstars like yourself who have reached the complete height of fan adoration. You are now the superstar of superstars in 1973.
Tony, you're not doing too bad.
Well, I'm working on it. I'm threatening. I'm a threat to you. Don't worry. It's never lasted a great length of time for these superstars. A year, 2 years, you've had a good run already. How long do you imagine it's going to last? The screaming, the waiting at the airport for you and all this?
I don't know. You know, a lot of people have asked me that. I don't know. Do those change significantly?
No, it's just so the mic won't fall on your head.
I don't know at this point. I mean, you know, a lot of people have asked me that, you know, and every year it just becomes like, well, I mean, am I that much closer? Am I that much farther away? I don't know. I've been doing it for about 3 years and 4 years. I don't know. As long as it lasts. I mean, as long as there are people that really want to see, I think it's great, you know.
Do you have any images about the future, about your future when you're about, say, 40, 50? What do you think you'll be doing?
I think I'll be stuffed by that time.
All over, all finished.
No, I don't know what I'll be doing. I mean, like, you know, Lord, I mean, look at 4 years ago, 5 years ago, I didn't know how to be doing this.
I know there's a lot of girls out there who would love you to be stuffed in, on the top of their mantelpiece or on the dressing table in the bedroom. But anyway,
you know, I'm just joking.
I know you are. We've got a letter from Wycombe Place, Banbury, Oxon in England, and it comes from Rosemary G. Hi, Rosie.
Rosie G.
Rosie G. Rosie G. That was by the Crows. Do you remember that record? The Crows and G. But anyway, the question. Forget it. She's got two questions. She says, "What do you think of girls like herself who really believe that they are in love with you? What do you think of the girls?
What do I think of them?
They're giving you their heart, you know."
Well, I think they're really fantastic.
Yeah?
I really do, yeah.
There's a bunch of people here in the studio distracting, as I would point out.
I mean, here's a guy trying to be serious and talk to some people. Actually, I really do think it is... What was I talking about?
I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll get you out of this one by going on the second question.
Yeah, yeah.
When you do eventually get married, if you get married, would you like to have children? How many would you like to have? Wait a minute.
Yeah.
You want me to find another question?
The next question.
Would you ask David if he likes staying on a boat in the Thames or would he prefer to stay in a hotel?
Well, it all depends. I mean, the Thames was fun. I mean, it was, you know, it was really a loon. You know, we had lots of people on there and, you know, I mean... It was just great. I mean, you know, I got ill. I was throwing up in the bathroom all night. You know, I mean, it was really exciting. Something you don't find at the Dorchester, you know what I mean? But, no, actually, I'd like to stay in a hotel, I think, maybe this time. I don't know. Maybe I will. Maybe I'll get a little flat in the city. And maybe if I can, you know, I'd like to really just walk around London. I'd like to see London. I'd like to see Manchester. I'd like to see...
You must get very paranoid about this, wanting to see places and not being able to go out in the street. How does it affect you?
You know, not... Well, you know, it just sort of inhibits me a little bit. You know, I become... It depends upon my attitude about it, you know. Actually, I think I make it a little worse than it is, you know. I mean, I tend to I don't know, overplay it a little bit, maybe. Maybe it's my own insecurity about it, but... I like, you know, I mean, I like to go out and boogie a little bit and see the town and, you know, have a good time and all that and meet the people. But, you know, when I'm confronted a couple of times, like last time I was in London, I went around and I did a little shopping during the...